Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the
airline with free miles. You can go where you want to go, cause you're his child. Just a friend is all you need. Jesus will be there, he's a friend indeed. So can we pick it up in the air? And pick up everybody everywhere. Just a friend is all you need. Jesus will be there. He's a friend indeed. Oh, welcome to the airline with free miles. You can go where you want to go, cause you're his child. All you need is just a friend, and Jesus will be there. Can you say amen? So can we pick it up in the air and pick up everybody everywhere? This song is for you too. Praise him from the heart of you. So can we pick it up in the air and pick up everybody everywhere? So can we pick it up in the air?
You're listening to The Journey Home. This is Pucci on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the airline.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the airline. Free Miles, are you there? All right, who else do I have on the line? 985-714.
That's me. That's Tim in Louisiana.
Ah, how are you?
Well, I'm just blessed.
That's the best way to be. That's the best way to be, for sure. Let me see. I was just talking to Free. I know she's on the line. But so how's your week?
She probably went to pick somebody else up. Hey, it's Cynthia.
I know Cynthia. Yeah, she probably jumped off the plane, you know. So she's like a bird.
I don't know if I wrote the wrong number.
I am here. I am so sorry. I had the phone.
You had muted it.
Yeah.
Yes, she muted it. Oh, Lord, you muted it. Free. God
yeah,
bless
I'm sorry.
Sister.
Praise the Lord. I was coughing, so I didn't want to do all that coughing, and I muted it, and I forgot it was on mute. But praise the Lord. Welcome
praise
to the airline.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad Cynthia was here to keep me company. And also the Holy Spirit who guides us through the airwaves and the Bible in this world. Hallelujah. So how's your week been? What's the report from the kingdom?
Praise the Lord. We just blessed. We blessed to be here with each other right now. We're just blessed.
Yes, we are.
Yes. And we're blessed to come together in him, blessed to lift up his name, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that since last month that God has been working with me about is learning not to worry. And this is the perfect time to just relax. And just shake all the chairs off and just put them into Jesus' hands as we fellowship with other believers out there, other heirs of the kingdom, as we say. I am definitely looking forward to this tonight and seeing where the Spirit takes us.
Amen. And there's a scripture on my heart. I don't know exactly where the address is. I think it may be in the Psalms, but I think it might be Psalm 127 or something. It says, unless the Lord build the house, he that labors buildeth in vain, or something like that. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I think I know what it says. Cynthia, jump on in here.
Except the Lord build the house, he that labors buildeth in vain, something like that.
Okay, let me get my Bible out while we're trying to figure this out. I know what where you're going with that. I know where you're going with it. The exact scripture and verse, I can't think of it off the top of my mind. But, you know, from what I'm hearing you saying is that the house that the Lord built stands.
Psalms 127.
There we go. Psalms 127.
Uh-huh.
Okay, would you like to read that for us?
Timothy?
Oh, sorry, what?
Can you read that song for us?
Okay, we're going to take a little break out. Everybody, when you find it, say amen, because we didn't have our Bibles out. Timothy, ready to go. I was running through the airport.
Praise the Lord.
I was. I just was saying it. Got a little shut-eye before I started just talking to the press.
Just in reference to that, and while we're there, you know, it's something about the foundation. If foundation is not Christ Jesus, you don't have nothing to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing.
I'm ready.
You got
I'm
it.
Ready when you are.
Okay, amen.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Amen.
Amen. That's what you were looking for?
Yeah, I was looking for that. Yeah, just the first verse. Actually, but going back to the foundation, and what really kind of had me there was because I don't know if you guys heard in the news about this guy being in his bed and in his house and him being followed up by a sinkhole.
Yes, I heard about that.
Okay, well, anyway, it's amazing that, yeah, this was inside, yet the frame of the home was still up and intact. And it just reminded me of something spiritual, how, you know, the outward appearance can look like it's safe or it's a safe haven or whatever, but on the inside, something else is going on, and which can be very deadly, sort of like how man judges the outward appearance of things. And it just, the thought just progressed with me over the last couple of days here about the appearance of things. And I began to speak with the Lord about myself and how, Lord God, I don't want to appear like everything is okay with me when on the inside everything is not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be swallowed up in anything that is not like God or not having to do with kingdom building or edification, or I just don't want to be swallowed up on the inside.
All right. And
everything appearing to be okay on the outside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we don't check the foundation.
Amen. Amen. We go by appearances, and a lot of situations, especially one of the things as Christians, I think that we do, we don't stop to like see someone, and you never know who you're talking to. That's when you were saying that, I was thinking of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, you know, where she didn't even know that she was talking to the Lord until later on he revealed it. But, you know, as we go through this world, Christians sometimes forget that they have to actually go through things. That, you know, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and giving your life over doesn't mean easy street. And but we have a solid foundation that we can stand on as we're going through these bumps and trials and tribulations in our life. And I just want to thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to be our dirty, you know, have everything just hanging off, if you might say that. And he's still there for us. Amen.
Amen. And if we take a trip over to John in the 16th chapter, it's relative. I'm going to get the verse here. Where Jesus talks about being of good cheer, because he says in this life you will have tribulation, and when I looked at that word tribulation, it led me to another scripture that talks about us being cast down, but not. What is it, pressed on every side, not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, you know. And a lot of what we go through, the only way we can get through is by faith.
I have to say that's the only way we can get through.
A relative analogy, something that's related to that, is planting. When you, you can't just say, okay, I want to grow a garden right here and just throw seeds out. Okay, you have to prepare the ground. Okay, you have to till the ground. You have to prepare the ground, because if you don't prepare the ground, what's going to happen is when you throw your seeds out, you're going to have a lot of whatever you're growing. Plus a lot of, say it's wheat, but you can have wheat, but you're also going to have a lot of tares unless you prepare that ground first. Just like the house. You can't just say, I'm going to build a house and just put pilings in it and build it. You have to take that ground and prepare it. You have to level it out. You may have to add something or move some dirt out, but you have to, there's a preparation phase.
Right. Yeah.
And that all happens in the heart.
Absolutely. That preparing your heart to be led is what comes to my mind, that once we give our life over to Christ, that we are no longer by ourselves preparing that ground, that he's going to prepare it with us, and he's going to walk with us through whatever trials and tribulations that may come our way. But as he said, I'm the solid rock in which you can stand, and all land around you is sinking sand. So we have to make sure we have that foundation built on faith, and that foundation built on the Word and on our Lord and Savior and the Great I Am, in order for us not to fall into our own spiritual sinkholes.
Amen. Amen. Well said, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
So,
and I mean, the thing of it is that you can go through whatever you go through, knowing that it's not the end for you. This life is not the end for you. This is just a passing through place, which
uh-huh.
is past, you know. But this part of life on this side of eternity. On earth, what does that scripture say? Said we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Uh-huh.
What's
that?
Yeah.
I was dancing. I forgot I had muted me.
The Book of Psalms.
Huh?
Book of Psalms says, "You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, and thus you prepare the earth."
Mm-hmm. And you know that preparation is interesting, that, you know, after the death and resurrection of Christ, Jesus taught his disciples for 40 days. And then he ascended to the right hand of God. And 10 days later, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. But before that, he had told them, you know, to wait on the Holy Spirit before they could do anything. Just like us now, before we could you have to wait.
Well, not only that, if you remember what I said before on previous flights, three and a half years he taught the apostles before he left. Now, three and a half is half seven, which is the number of completion.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look in the Bible, you have 3.5 years for everything. 3.5 years is a time of what? Preparation.
Preparation.
You prepare for 3.5 years, you know, and all in the Bible is that there's a 3.5 year cycle, and then the second 3.5 years after that 3.5 years expire, that's when there's when it's finalized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we forget to go through our preparation time. We're so eager to get to the completion that we think that there's no work involved in kingdom building. And there's a lot of interpersonal work that you have to do in order to walk and get a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. You know, he is constantly preparing us to complete each step, or each stop in our life, to bring us to a higher level so we can get deeper understanding of who he is and who we are ourselves. And that's one of the things that, you know, I'm so grateful for, is that we have such a keeper and such a teacher that loves us so much that no matter what is going on, He's never going to put anything on us that we can't handle. He's always going to have that preparation time for us. And
yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off, but before I forget, I just wanted to ask a question that maybe y'all can help me with. begin to dress up or cover up or think that we have to appear to be a man or that we have to appear to be the question is, you know, like Adam and Eve, they didn't know they were naked until they had sinned, right?
Right.
So then they tried to cover up. Okay. But in essence, is what I'm saying, as a people, when did we evolve into we have to stand out in appearance, for appearance sake, for other people? When was there this move or how did it come about that we have to look good for somebody else or that we have to please? When did that come about?
Trying to impress somebody.
Yeah, trying to impress somebody. When did the appearance come in? When did it happen that a person would be judged by their appearance? How did that come to be? I mean,
I know what you're talking about, and I don't know what shift there was where we have moved to a point where we look at someone and I dare even say that person isn't holy, or that person doesn't know God, or that person doesn't do this or doesn't do that. I don't know when we made that shift, but I do recognize the shift that you're talking about. I wonder if Timothy had any insight on that.
Well, it has to. Let me see. How can I say this? I just had the word in my head a minute ago, and I lost it. It's based on self righteousness. Mm. Whenever we came into being to a point where we became, as a people, self-righteous, then that's when we started looking at other people and judging them, comparing them, you know, to us.
Right.
But we know self-righteousness is not of God.
No, it's not.
It's pride.
No, it's not.
It's egotism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pride.
So when did we become concerned with changing our appearance?
We come to church every Sunday and dress up, something like that.
Yeah. When did that happen and why? What is that about? What is Because the if I put on the best hat or the best dress, does that make, what is that saying about me in the body of Christ? Why am I motivated to be dressed up? Why am I motivated to
We love instant gratification. As we were talking about the seeds, Timothy was talking about the seeds that you have to prepare the ground. But sometimes we go for the quick fix where we would dress up in what they call our Sunday best, when Jesus said, you can come in a wheelbarrow, and as long as you're coming to worship me, I don't care. We have lost that message, and I'm going to look and say that the leadership of the churches have something to do with that too.
It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament, God told the Israelites to do things in a very specific manner. Mm-hmm. And just like Cain and Abel, mm-hmm. Abel gave the best of the best, for a sacrifice, and Cain didn't care. Cain just gave whatever. Now, and of course God didn't like that. and he didn't accept Cain's offering. So you know, it's hard to explain it. That's really a tough question to explain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the reason why I was bringing it to the forefront like that was because I think that when we come together in an assembly, like this, of course, you know, when we come together, yeah, we're talking about Jesus, but we must first recognize that Jesus is with us and here with us, and we should be able to come I don't know if the word is it uninhibited or and I don't know what the I'm trying
trans,
to say
transparent
you are.
We should be able to be naked. How's that?
The word you're looking for is being transparent.
Transparent. Transparent.
Transparent.
We should be able to be seen through that we have all of these things, these layers of how we should appear that gets in the way of just saying, Lord, we're bringing this to the altar. Lord, we're bringing this to the altar. Lord, we're bringing that to the altar. Lord, we come before you, Lord, with this. Lord, we come before you with the oppressions in our lives. Lord, we come before you with the addictions in our lives. Lord, we come before you with the scandals in our lives. Lord, we come Lord, we come before you with all of those things, all of those hidden things, all of those. Why can't we come naked? Why do we have to come in a fashion? You know.
Man, you know what? I think too. Sometimes, because I heard this before too. I guess some people feel like, well, hey, I want to dress this way and give my best to God, but it all really goes back, even with that in mind, it's still tradition because there's nothing in the Word of God that says it. You know what I'm saying? Even with the whole women ain't supposed to be wearing pants, that type of stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
pants wasn't invented no more than about 500 years ago.
Right. Exactly.
And back in the Old Testament, because, you know, the Bible say a woman should not wear nothing pertaining to a man, but yet back in the Old Testament days, they had all of them had those long robes and all that stuff, but it was a way that the men wore theirs and the women wore theirs different, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't no such thing as no pants back then, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just God go back to traditions, really.
Well,
whether you
want
to do your best for God or you want to try to impress others, it still all goes back to tradition, stuff that doesn't line up with God's word.
Well, you said, you know, that's very true. But, you know, by our own nature, we are creatures of habit. We have a tendency to want to do things the same way over, and if it works, we're going to try to do it over and over and over again, whether it's right or wrong, you know, so... You know, sometimes we fall into these habits, much like the Israelites. The Israelites had a certain way of doing certain things, and everybody lived a certain way, and they had certain rules and a certain social structure. But all of a sudden, this man God named Jesus shows up on the scene, and he just throws all that stuff away. And he comes to follow me. Now, these people had no idea what he was talking about. Because all they knew was the Jewish way of life. So they started trying to follow Jesus, but they were conflicted because they had all this other stuff they'd been doing for generation after generation. They didn't know if it was right or wrong. And they had a lot of questions. That's why they wrote the Corinthians, wrote to Paul, the Galatians, the Colossians, wrote to Paul. Because they wanted an opinion on it, or because they were confused by a lot of this stuff, and after that period of time, when the church began to grow more, man tried to organize it, and when he organized it, what did they start doing? They started pulling a lot of old stuff they used to do back in, because they were comfortable with it. They were comfortable with something. You know, they understood it.
Yes.
They understood it. They really didn't have a revelation yet of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ was. But they knew that they did this for years, and they were kind of they want to pull the bullets back in because they were, it made them feel comfortable. You know, God never called you to be comfortable. God's called you, like I said before, if God wanted the Israelites in the desert to be comfortable, he would have given them a map. He wouldn't, he wouldn't have had a cloud to give them a map.
Amen. Amen.
So, but God wanted to, but they didn't have that revelation, you know, in the early church. So they began to pull all these things back.
So we are dressed up in our tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to undress and get stripped down naked.
And I think part of this is our human nature, where we don't want to go against the grain. And say you go fellowship and you're the only one naked there. I think human nature kicks in at that point, which makes us, you know, because we're like scared little children, you know. And I think that has to do with just, you know, trying to get back into conformity. And so that we can, you know, feel as if we're doing something right, on the right path. When you say,
okay,
you know, I don't. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. But a perfect example of that is the first lady of a local body. For some reason, all the women seem to follow the first lady, the way she dresses. Mm-hmm. Where their hair is fixed. In most churches, if you find that, if you look at the first lady, you see a lot of other women with their hair like that in the same style of clothing. They seem to emulate the first lady of the church.
Right.
But why is that? Because, once again, like you just said, they're trying to conform to something. They don't really understand it. They're trying to conform to something, you know, that they think is correct, because if she's doing it, well, it has to be right. But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, you go in some churches and all the ladies got a big hat on, wearing hats.
Mm-hmm.
You go to other churches and nobody's wearing a hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is one right or wrong? No, not at all. You know, it makes absolutely no difference. You know, you wear a hat or you don't wear a hat, but they do it because that's the way they've been doing it for a long time. Everybody in the church wears a hat, or every woman wears a big hat on.
And I believe, you know, myself with that, you hit that right on the head, and I have to go back to the leadership of breaking those barriers down when you begin to see that, because you're supposed to stretch yourself as you're learning about the Word of God, and stretch yourself as you're growing into your Christianity, and stretch yourself as you're building this inner relationship with Christ. And a lot of times we kind of stifle ourselves and say, okay, whatever this person is doing or saying, this is as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to stretch myself, find out for myself, read for myself, challenge for myself. We fall into a rut, and we stop doing the work that we have to do before we even get to church on Sunday. There's a lot of preparation, as you mentioned before, that has to be done. Before we gather to worship.
Well, the only difference between a rut and a grave is the death of the hole.
I like that.
Now, think about this. Okay, God told Abraham to take your family and go to the place I'm going to show you. Go to the promised land. Okay? So Abraham takes his family, takes his father-in-law, and his nephew Lot and such, and they get on this journey. They start going to the promised land. They are going to where they're right there with God. And God is leading them, and they're right along the path with him. But they come to a place called Haran, and they tarry there. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 3.5 years. Okay, they stayed there. It must have been like an oasis or something in the desert, whatever. But in the end, his father-in-law said, I'm going to stay here.
And Abraham took the rest of his family, and he left, and he proceeded on his journey. See, now, his father-in-law never seen the promised land. He never reached what he never achieved or seen what God had in store for him. He never got to that point of getting the blessing of the promised land because he stopped short. He got to a point, and he became comfortable. He had food. He had water. You know, he had provision. You know, he was okay. He was okay right there. So he stayed there. And you know what happened to him? He died there. So the lesson that we learned about that is when you stop growing, when you stop moving, okay, then you start dying. The human body grows from the point of inception to about 20 years old. And then it starts a very slow decay. And it gets, as you get older, that decline, that decay gets more rapid. Okay, to the end of your life. All right? The lesson is when you stop growing, you start dying. You see, God wants us to grow with him. Mm-hmm. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to he doesn't want us to stop halfway in the journey and say, okay, this is good enough. I'm happy here. I'm comfortable here. That's exactly what has happened to a lot of the church. They've gotten to that point, and they got to a certain point in Christ, And they felt comfortable that they think they have arrived. When they ain't at midpoint yet, but they think they have arrived because they look at where they've been. Oh well, I've come this far. Well, you know, now I've arrived. But they have so much farther to go, but they don't realize it yet. And they what happens once they do that, they stop growing. They sit in the church for the next 40 years. You know, everyone going to church every Sunday, but they're getting that they're going nowhere spiritually.
No. Yeah, and, you know, we have to remember that it's a journey. This is not a destination that we're on. We're on our journey. And along the way, there's going to be rocks and uneven stones and uneven grass and uneven plains. And so we can never become so complacent in our spirituality that we just think that where you are now is all that God can give you. I think that's right. The biggest mistake that people make.
That's right. There are mountains and there are valleys. Just because you get over a mountain and you get into a valley doesn't mean that's where God wants you to stay.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to, like you said, it's not a destination you're looking for. It's the journey. And what happens when you stop? Look what happened to Lot's wife. When the angel said, go here, do not stop here. Do not stop. Keep on going. She stopped and she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt, which is stuck in the ground, hardened, and totally immovable. And don't that sound like a lot of Christians?
And Jesus wants us Jesus wants us to bloom where we are planted, wherever he plants us. Wherever he sends us, he wants us to be blooming. And he also says in his words that you will know them by the fruit that they bear. This is how you will know who's who, regardless of what the appearance looks like.
Right, and on top of that,
whatever the outward show is doing or has done, or how far it came, or where it got stuck, or whatever, you will know by the fruit it bears.
Now we have a question. I thought I'm rambling on here, but a question you have to ask is, how do you grow? What is necessary to grow?
By abiding
listen, you missed my point here. In order to grow, something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something is staying the same way, it's not going to grow. There has to be a change. Growth requires change.
You're right.
Now, so you have to change in order to grow. But what happens when a child goes and grows about 8 or 9 years old? What he starts complaining about? Oh, Daddy, my legs hurt.
My legs, he has growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
So the journey is not always pleasant, but it's something that you have to go through to become an adult.
See? Yes.
So
they call them babes in Christ.
Exactly. And you have to the babes have to be, you have to grow. In order to grow, there has to be changed. Something has to be changing. If nothing's changing in your church or nothing's changing in your life, then you're not growing. And when you stop growing, what did I just say? When you stop growing, you start to die. At first you call it a rut, but that hole gets bigger and becomes a grave.
And then you're sitting there. I love the analogy, with Jesus there, and he taught, and he came down and he taught. The crowds would get so big, and never stand.
I'm sorry.
He was. I don't know. I think somebody's phone was. I don't know. But Jesus, the crowds would get so big around Jesus, and he was always on his way somewhere, that they had to yell out his name in order for him to turn around for a moment to get his attention. And I think we forget that we have to yell out his name to get his attention, because if you're just sitting there without opening your heart or opening your mind or opening your mouth or anything, even though you're not feeling good inside, you have to, confess with your mouth in order to activate the next level for yourself. And so it goes back to that, again, being transparent, where it's like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I am not perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect Christian.
Right, and you have to prepare your heart. Again, going back to preparing your heart to receive what you're expecting from God. When he was crying out, he was preparing his heart for an expected miracle to take place. When you prepare your heart to receive from Christ, you do receive, but when your heart is not prepared, it's not guided, it's not going anywhere,
No.
I thank the Holy Spirit for just giving me that to say.
Yeah, I believe you do. I believe that's so. I think everything that we've all been saying, if you take it collectively, we're
oh, yeah, sure. No, I'm not trying to stand out like a sore thumb or anything. I'm just saying that was just my thought as I was listening too. I've always listened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, everything that we all have said comes back to the point that, I want to be okay not being okay.
Well, we're supposed to be a peculiar people, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The world says you're okay, then there's something wrong.
No, I was talking about the body. It's not the world. The world is not designed to operate. Whatever the body of Christ is operated to do, the world is built total polar opposite of it, because we in the world have to worry about how we're going to pay our bills, how we're going to do this, what we're going to retire on, where we're going to retire, how does my head this look? Do I have this? How's my hair look? How's my shoes look? We're so self-consumed with ourselves that, we don't stop and peel off all the layers that we need to humble ourselves. I mean, we're a humble people in the kingdom. There's no pride. There's no big eyes and little U's. you know, that's what God just put on my spirit to say.
Amen. We should be reflecting Jesus Christ. We should be reflecting His Spirit. We should look like Him. When we're concerned about how we look, it shouldn't be if we're concerned about how we look to other people, even our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have to appear one way or the other to each other. Our concern should be about how we appear to Christ. How do we look before You, Lord? And if we don't look like what we should, help us, Lord, to look like what we should. Help us to look like You, Jesus. Help us, keep, guide us, lead us.
Amen. Lead us and guide us. You know, you never know who you're talking to sometimes. You know, you have been out and just start talking, strike up a conversation with someone, and they, you don't know where they're from or whatever, but you can tell who they are by the fruits that they bear and the things that they say. And some of the most spiritual people are some of the most, as the world would look at it, people that appear to have nothing. And they're more grounded in the Word and more grounded in their growth than a lot of people who get up every Sunday and dress up and go and clap their hands with their little napkins and their little, you know, handkerchiefs and everything. And I'm not downing church, because we should assemble, we should praise, but we should do it under the right motivation. It's not there for us to come and get a quick fill up. It's there for us to come and give a testimony.
Expecting God to give us more of His power to plant more seeds of life. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, my phone cuts out sometimes. I don't know if y'all are talking. I still opened my mouth and I realized y'all are still talking. But I don't mean to interrupt. But what I can say is that we serve a supernatural God. Now, we as humans exist in a natural world, okay? But we need to stop focusing on the natural and operate more supernaturally. Because God does not work in the natural. He works in the supernatural. If we're going to access the power of God and the blessings of God, it has to be done supernaturally. But we look at the circumstances more than the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
See, we look at what's going on in, you know, in the natural world, and there's so many Christians I know out there. They're so concerned about the political situation in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They're obsessed with the political situation in the United States, and it's not good. But you know what? It's natural. That's mm-hmm. not the spiritual realm. That's the natural realm. And they, mm-hmm. you know, Christians want to change something. They need to stop trying to do it in the natural and operate and do it in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because battles are always won in the supernatural first, before they are manifested in the natural.
Yeah, and God's just too big to come down here, you know. And I always say He's too big to come down here to deal with our whining. Yeah, you know, just sometimes we can just get so lost, and we become such like children again. And we have to be spiritual in order to get spiritual blessings.
There it is.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, there it is there. That's the key, spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Because this war is about the flesh versus the spirit. And that's just, that's going to be until we go home. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like that until we go home. There's going to be this constant war of the flesh and the spirit. And like we always said before, the one that wins is the one that you feed the most.
Because if you don't feed it, that's a universal law. If you don't feed it, it can't grow.
No. Mm-hmm. It will shrivel up and die. You know, when you, I love when they refer to our Lord and Savior as the vine, and we're the branches. And we have to make sure that we can stay connected to that vine, because that's where we get our nutrients from. That's where we get the strength to grow. And it's when we try to do it ourselves, in other words, getting cut off from that vine, that we then find ourselves withering up and dying, like any tree or any branch of the bush. You break off a leaf off the plant, that leaf is going to die. You know?
Right. Now, what happens with a vine, though? We are vines, right? Well, what happens on a vine?
Right.
Okay. Berries grow, or fruit grows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or vegetables, whatever. Life comes out of that vine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The seeds drop off to the ground, and guess what happens? It starts replicating itself constantly. Okay? That's what we are supposed to be doing, you know, in the body. However, we don't see as much of that. We see the vine growing to a certain point, like I said before about complacency, but you don't see anything growing on it. There's no fruit growing on it.
Right.
So what does that tell you? That like you said, they shrivel up and die. When a vine starts producing fruit, what happens? It means it's dying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what we're talking about. You know, exactly. You could say it so many ways.
Like I said many times, we as Christians are not to be sitting in a church for generation after generation, going to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. That is not what church is even for. It is not a social activity. If you look at the Bible, Peter and his disciples never put a sign up saying church, had people come to them, but they went out. Jesus said, "Go out." He didn't say, "Let them come to you." They go out and teach and preach the word.
And
the four corners of the earth.
You just fanned that fire. You just fanned that fire, and it just got bigger and bigger and brighter and brighter. That was right on key.
But that's what we're supposed to be doing. We should imagine this. Imagine the numbers in this here. If you have 10 people, and each one of those 10 people takes one person and disciples them, and each one of their disciples is going to take one person and disciple them, and each one of the if that cycle keeps going on, you're going to have a lot of people in a very, very short time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But typically what happens is, you know, rather than the message coming out of the church, the people of the church, they say, "Come to church with me on Sunday." And so they start people in the same old rut that they're in. They want to just come to church thinking that's the answer to everything. But that, you know, like I said, but, you know, the church does not lead them to Christ.
No.
The church is nothing. It's you know, you have to bring the word to somebody. And if they never step foot in your church, that's okay too. But you know, we're called to be fishers of men. We take the word out, and we bring the word out to people, and that's how the kingdom is added. People are added to the kingdom daily.
And what did Jesus say? By now we all should be teachers. It was not meant for us to depend on one singular source for our soul enrichment.
Right. Why do Christians invite other Christians to come to the church to get prayed for? Oh, mm-hmm. Come to the church and let our pastor pray for you. Who the heck is he?
Yeah.
He has no more anointing or power than you do.
Exactly.
But yet they want to bring people to church like they think that's going to be, you know, a cure all for everything. And it's not. Jesus is the cure.
The one that I have a problem with is. You know, I'm gonna take your name down and I'm gonna pray for you. We're gonna have a prayer service at 6 o'clock, and I'll be sure to call out your name in the prayer. Well, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to me, because if there's a person in need of prayer, you pray for them then as the Holy Spirit leads you. You don't wait for a time or a specific time or a place or a specific person to pray for somebody. If a person is in need of prayer, you pray at that time that the Spirit leads you. You hear the need.
Because we serve a now God. We don't serve a in a minute God, later on next week kind of God. We serve a now God. And I think
now
we miss...
Now, right now.
Yeah.
Evidence of things not seen. I'm going to pray in agreement with you, my brother or my sister, that the Lord's will be done in this situation, that the Lord's Spirit intervenes in this situation. Right now, we agree. Right now, we're going to bind the devil. Right now, we're going to loose the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has power to bind and loose, as the Spirit teaches us.
I think we were all trying to jump in there again.
But like I said before, you know, we are called to go out to preach the gospel to the world, not invite them to church. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, but what has happened is, once again, they set up, just like they did in the Jewish days, they had the synagogue and the temples. Okay? They decided, at some point in the early church, they decided they wanted to adopt that pattern. They pulled that back out of the cobwebs off of that idea, and they put it in the church. To build churches, and that was the downfall. Because what they did was, when they did that, they put a sign up saying church, and they expected people to come to them rather than go out to the people, which is a contradiction of what Jesus said. So in essence, what they did was they stopped building the kingdom when they started building cathedrals.
Right.
They started building cathedrals instead of building the kingdom.
And from that sprung, I don't know how many denominations you can get out of the body of Christ when we're all Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're Christians. What are you, a Christian? You know, and as we have to all, we don't have to all agree, but what came to my mind when you were talking was, the disciples couldn't agree on what Jesus said when he left anyway. So we're starting from a kind of, you know, did he mean this or did he mean that? You know, even though they walked with him for such a long time, they still didn't understand what he was all about completely. That is why Christ said, come to me. I'll be your teacher.
Individual denominations, if they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus died for their sins and risen from the dead, you know, believe in this stuff, then they're Christians. It doesn't matter if they believe Jesus died on a cross or if he died on a tree. That's a moot point. The point is he died and why he died and what happened after he died and who he was.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
There's so many different denominations that they differ on very small items. They take them, they really blow them out of proportion. They major on minors, which is a clever diversion of the enemy. Because if he can divide you up, especially on something, and preoccupy you with something that really makes no difference fundamentally, then his goal is made. Then he has achieved his goal.
Okay. Well, that's just that goes back to the original thought about appearances. Because if I can set up a church and it appears that everything godly and goodly and richly and wealthy and prosperous is tied to how you grow in the church, is tied to how you measure up in the church, is tied to how you have advanced in the church. Well, if I can keep that going, I've then developed this hierarchical system where I have measured up in some way and in my flesh as a man or woman, as a person. I've grown to this stage, so therefore I am now over someone else underneath me, when that is not a structure of the kingdom. The kingdom is horizontal. We are all equal on the same plane. There is no higher than anyone else in our church.
Well, I'm a deacon. I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet.
No, you're not. But that doesn't make you higher than me, a lay person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's exactly what you're saying.
You can be deacon, bishop, elder, so-and-so, so-and-so, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an heir just like I am an heir.
Right.
You're no higher. Now, you may have been graced with more learning experiences that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought you through, where you might be able to better equip me in some areas of my life, but you will never be higher than me.
We all have our own unique spiritual gift that was given to others. That's one of us. I can't do Free or Timothy. I can't do anybody but Sister Hoochie. That's who I am, and that's all I can do. You become in the kingdom. You start with kingdom. That's why Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You then become a servant. And the servant is not over the master. We are here to serve in the kingdom, to grow the kingdom, to spread the word, to bring other people into the fold and give them the acknowledgement of Christ. And you don't have to have a fancy degree, name, or anything behind us. It's not through
you. Or a large church, or a mega church, or a big building.
Right.
That is an appearance of a thing, and that thing's appearance is false.
Right.
It is false. It is the actual wolf in sheep clothing that has come to divide the body of Christ.
And what did it say about a house divided?
It cannot stand.
Ah, you see? That's what division does. It divides.
So there's going to be a lot of sinkholes in the modern day churches as we know it. It's gonna the outside, the appearance is gonna look good and it's gonna look bright and shiny, and people are gonna look prosperous and seeming to be happy, seeming to be out there doing what they think is the will of God. However, spiritually on the inside there's decay, and they will be sucked up. Jesus.
You could put makeup on. You could have plastic surgery and make yourself look real pretty and all, you know. You can have hair transplants, whatever you want. But if you have cancer inside your body, guess what? Then you're rotting from the inside out.
Amen.
You will only be able to keep up that pretty appearance for so long, but then when that rot comes to the surface, there's no describing that.
Amen. So the inventory needs to be done. We all need to look within ourselves and not what the others are doing out there. Because it's going to start with us first. Judgment starts at the house of God first. It's up to us to prepare our hearts to receive where the Lord is wanting to take us as his children and not worry about, because I don't know about if anybody else can say this, but And I'm not trying to stand out here. I'm just trying to confess here. You know, I'm concerned about not wanting to put up an appearance. I'm concerned about being naked before God and being at peace with that. I'm concerned about being transparent. I'm concerned about not talking about it, but walking about it. You know, I'm concerned about that. That concerns me. I don't want to be who I talk about. You know, I don't want to be among the church that divides. Because Sister so-and-so should have been there by now, or Brother so-and-so should be there by now, according to who? Free standards? I think not. You know, I just want to be open before God and put everything on the altar before God and let him have his way. And I don't want no man to tell me how to do it, unless the Lord told him to tell me how to do it. And my spirit will bear witness to that truth, if it was the Lord. But, yeah, I think the inventory needs to be done. Like, who am I trying to impress? Who am I trying to look good for? What do I want people to think of me? How they think of me, should that affect me? You know, I want to get away from all of that. I want to be delivered from all of that, so help me, Jesus. That's just my personal testimony, guys. I just, and I hope you all are praying with me, because I don't want to be appearing to be something that I'm not. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
See, it's you know, my father taught me one time, it's real cool to be able to talk about others and what others are doing, but if you ask somebody, well, what are you doing? Then you don't get a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it we just start to take it and inward look at ourselves and, you know, judge that appearance. What does that look like? Does it look like fruit is bearing on the inside? Is it in your heart?
It's in your heart and in your soul, you know? If you know... The most freeing thing, I think, is to realize that you're human. And that's what it looks like, you know?
Jesus said, you cannot worship two gods. Like, you end up loving one and hating the other.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot worship two gods. Therefore, you cannot operate in the flesh and in the spirit. No.
Amen. There's two opposing forces.
If you are concerned, let's say you're in a local body, if you are concerned so much about what other people think of you, if you're concerned about being in their little clique, in this little clique or that little clique,
mm-hmm.
then that means you are not operating by the spirit, but you are operating by the flesh.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. And even Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. So why do we even try? You know, it's not popular to walk in a Christ-like manner, the way that Christ intended us to walk in, because it again goes back to that humbling state that we're so uncomfortable with. You know, I don't want you to see me, you know, prostrate on the ground, on my knees, calling out to my Savior, when to me that's the most powerful thing that I can see someone do.
Amen.
So it's the inner man or woman versus the outer man or woman or man that we have to make sure that we're doing our best to operate in spirit. Is that what you were trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We jumped right into the heat tonight.
Because we need to undress.
Uh-huh.
Because we need to undress. We need to strip down naked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's important because so many things that we have dressed ourselves up with. We've
mm-hmm.
just dressed ourselves up with tradition. We've
mm-hmm.
dressed ourselves up with the way people say that we should do things. We've
mm-hmm.
dressed ourselves not what the spirit, not the way the spirit said we should do it. People say we should do it.
We dressed ourselves up
that, you know, I gotta look like this because if I don't look in, if I look any other way, what will they think of me?
Right. You know, that reminds me of when the ministry just turned 5 years old. And when I was starting this ministry, and I said it's going to be a church without walls, you're not going to have a building, it's going to be on the internet. And everybody thought I was absolutely out of my mind, not everybody, but a great majority of people. And someone asked me, how do you know what your congregation is doing if you can't see them? Of course, I'm like the same way your pastor knows when you leave. But you know, on Sunday, your pastor has no idea what you're doing. But, the other part of that is that we're supposed to be worshiping in spirit and truth. And we forget that that's the requirement to worship our Lord, is in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm. You know, people put a lot of effort in the flesh. You know, like, let's just say I got a problem. And so I think in order to solve my problem, I need a new environment. You know, most people always think that the best way to get a change in their life is to change their environment, and then everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that that's still natural. And that's still man thinking, because anywhere you go, guess who's going to be there?
The common denominator. You
are.
Well,
wherever you go. So in order for anything to change, it has to be a supernatural change.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because the flesh is going to be the flesh wherever it go, wherever it be, whatever environment, it's still going to be the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it will have not mastered anything if it thinks that it's going to change because it got into a new environment, a new apartment, a new husband, a new place,
superficial feeling.
Or it's like those things don't make you. Christ makes you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that you're going to do anything for yourself by changing your conditions or your environment, hey, they may be an aid, you know, but they will not be the ultimate solution.
No, Christ is the ultimate solution.
Yes.
Christ and the hope of glory is the ultimate solution to everything that comes up in our lives. And I think we
life transformer.
Right. You know, we try to fly the plane, make the itinerary, serve the refreshments, and talk about Christ all at the same time. And that's the kind of pressure we put on ourselves, and that's the reason I said that. You know, we put so much pressure on ourselves. Are we doing it right? Are we saying it right? Are we talking right? And did I quote that verse right? You know, that we forget that, it's really the Christ within us that speaks for us. It's the Christ within us that speaks for us. And when someone looks at you, they should see Christ within you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's there, the person is not going to be able to not acknowledge. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess.
Yeah,
so
that carnality, that flesh, it has its ways about it where it can even dress up like a Christian.
You know,
working.
It can dress up like an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being operating in the music ministry for a number of years, I've seen many people come through. They're gifted musicians, and they'll come into the to a church, and they'll get involved in the music program, music ministry, and they'll have problems. It seems like problems follow them around because a little while later they quit that church, they go to another church, they join that music ministry, and they have problems. So they quit that one, and they go in. And it's always the churches that's at fault. But the same people have been through every church in town. And any church would love to have them because they were very good at what they did. But there's always problems with division wherever they go. That spiritual problem there is not even a church problem. Like you said, the common denominator is them.
Yes, hallelujah. That's the common denominator. You know, you can't get away from you, no matter how you try. You can't run from you. You can't hide from you. You definitely can't hide from God and Jesus. I mean, you just, you know, even in the Garden of Eden, he's like, you know, why are you hiding? Oh, we didn't think you could see us. You know, it's like, but I am.
But if you look at that, they knew that they were seen. I mean, all of a sudden they became aware
mm-hmm.
because that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now they know, now they have the knowledge of right and wrong on their conscience rather than the relationship that they have with the Father. Now they're looking at their disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they're looking at their wrong. So they knew once they disobeyed, they were enlightened, or they began to have this knowledge of, oh my God, I'm naked, I could be seen.
Mm-hmm. And they tried to run and hide. And but, I think we do that spiritually too. Instead of standing, you know, being able to just, I love saying it, I'm a sinner. You know, I was born into sin. That is what it is written, is that I was born into sin. So why do we put so much pressure on ourselves when we know that's the one thing that we are all going to be working on, is to try to get it right, to try to be more like Christ, to stop and bring someone along with us, you know, to stop to teach someone. When would it be okay for us to just accept the state of mankind from a spiritual point of view?
Think about this. You know, there's something out there called Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, you know, who are acknowledged that they are alcoholics, they come together, okay, and they talk about being an alcoholic, and they console one another. And they stand by one another. When one of them falls off, he's always assigned somebody. If he starts wanting to drink, he'll call the other person, and they'll try to get him through it.
Right.
You know, there's a fellowship that they're involved in there. They're all working toward the same goal, which is sobriety. That
mm-hmm.
should be a model for the church. We're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
We should be. You should be praying for me. If I fall into sin, you should be praying with me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, but that's not how it is. But that's how it should be. We're all together working toward the same goal, just like the Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't the church have that mindset where they are here for each other? I'm not here for me. I'm here for you as well.
You're right. I'm here to serve you. He says,
I mean,
you
a minute
know,
you, I'm, you know, and together we can grow.
Yes.
Amen.
And we can help each other through this world, this tiring, deceptive, sinful world that we live in. Christians should be able to pray each other through, carry each other through, give each other encouraging words.
That's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are there for one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to build one another, so that we all grow together. Just remember how the apostles was?
Mm-hmm.
The apostles all lived with Christ, you know. They all were together. They prayed for one another. They were very close. They helped each other.
Mm-hmm.
They all worked together toward the same goal. And then when they went out, they all went their separate ways, so to speak. But they all had the same goal in mind. You see, that's where the church should be doing. The church should be discipling the people, and so when the people go outside the church into the highways and the byways to bring the word,
mm-hmm.
the kingdom's going to be constantly growing, and they're going to be planting those seeds, and those seeds are going to grow, and the people and those seeds are all going to come together with one another, just like the apostles did, just like
Amen.
The church was supposed to be doing.
Amen. They need a revolving door on a church, because you shouldn't be looking at the same 50 people for 50 years. You should be elevating them to the point that they can go out and spread the word if they don't know how.
Hey.
That's exactly my point.
refreshing. You're not supposed to be sitting on your blessing assurances for 50 years in a church for four generations every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be doing that. Why didn't Jesus? I mean, Jesus could have stayed around 100 years if he wanted to.
But he
waited 3.5 years. Now that number is significant, not only in the spiritual world, but even in the natural. When you go to, how long do you go to high school? Three and a half to four years.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to become a doctor, you go to college for how long? 3.5 to 4 years. You go to medical school, 3.5 to 4 years. You see, that cycle, it takes 3.5 years to learn to do basically anything. If you want to be good in a certain sport, it'll take you that long to be really good, to understand it properly, and be really good at it. So a 3.5 year cycle, there's a lot to that. So
let's be careful how we put that out there, though, because we don't want nobody to get hung up on numerology or nothing like that, or numbers, period. Because Christ's spirit can take 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, 6.5. You know, we don't want to put it out there like it's specifically 3.5 years. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is that he took 3.5 years and he trained these people, not 40 years. Not 50 years, not 60 years,
mm-hmm.
but 3.5 years. And then he said, go out. But then once he trained them, he said, well, he didn't quite tell them to go out yet. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait till I send you power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then they went out.
But go out. Go.
Then, you know, so, but the ultimate goal was for them to go out.
Go out. Go out and spread my word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the conversation that Jesus had with Peter when he was reinstating Peter, and he said, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. He left some very basic things for us to do and be to one another. You know, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do, Lord. You know, clothe my sheep. You know. So that's the kind of mentality I believe that we as Christians must maintain, and being humble and while we do it. You know, if I train someone to go out and teach the gospel, and they, by whoever standard, go higher than I went, then I'm clapping for them. We don't get happy for another saint when they've reached a milestone in their life. Did that come out right? Anybody feeling that?
Well, I think what you were saying is that
if you have a local body that you're pastoring. If another body forms up in your town, and they start doing street ministry or whatever they do, and all of a sudden they're full of people born again, you know, you're sold off to Jesus Christ, people who are on the street, prostitutes and drunks, you know,
mm-hmm.
the place is full of those people, you know, you should be praising God.
Right.
It's just like the Pharisees. When the Pharisees saw the man that Jesus healed, if they couldn't walk or nothing like that, instead of them praising God and rejoicing with him because he was all excited, what did they do? They had a meeting. Ain't it like a church today? They had a meeting to discuss this. They got together and they wanted to discuss what just happened. You see, instead of praising God, they called a meeting, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Call a meeting. Where's the deacon? In the past.
Well, I know. I know that lady that wanted to take his garments didn't wait for no pastor, no priest.
What'd you say?
But I said I know the lady that wanted to touch the hem of didn't wait for no pastor or no preacher.
No.
She pressed her way. She pressed in.
Yeah,
and that's what we got to do. We got to continue to press in. Press in to touch Jesus.
Yeah.
You got to press press in. I'm sorry, that must be my phone doing that. But we gotta be press in to wanna receive from Jesus. We gotta be pressing in to be hungry. We gotta be pressing in to be thirsty
mm-hmm.
at all times. You know,
amen. Amen. You know, I'm not I try not to become indignant to people. You know, it's really against my nature. You know, if somebody believes something, they have a weird belief or something like that, or they're not the same belief or mindset I am, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but so I don't get in arguments with people over theology. You know, but
mm-hmm.
one time I had to become indignant because it just hit me at the right time in a very wrong way. I had somebody come to my house one time trying to sell me Amway products. You know, want me to do Amway. You all don't know what Amway is, right?
Right, right. I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they want me to do this Amway thing when the presentation. And they said, you know, Amway is a Christian organization. He said, Amway brought me closer to God. And that just hit me the wrong way. I said, you don't need Amway to get to God.
No, you don't. You're absolutely right. You don't.
But it's just so funny because the way I said it, you don't need Amway to get to God.
Amway brought me closer to God. Okay. It could be the maybe a particular person within. I mean, Amway is not doing anything. That's interesting.
hey, but you need the I.
Huh?
You need the I am way.
I am way. I am the way, the truth.
Yes, indeed.
And
the I am way, hallelujah.
And I like this flight so much.
We need Jesus. We all need Jesus the same way. Not the same way in our individual lives, but the same way as children of Christ. We all need him. We need him to lead us and fill us with his spirit. We need him to show us all things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians and the church, a lot of the church, a big part of the church in general, is that they're blinded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're blinded because they're like an ostrich. They put their head in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their head's completely covered in sand, so they can't hear either. They can't hear, they can't see. All there is their butt up in the air for the enemy to kick.
I like
and
that.
And the enemy looks for those opportunities to do exactly that. You know, the devil's job is to steal the word away from you as soon as you receive it.
You see, if you can't see and you can't hear, you don't even see the enemy. You don't even know the enemy's coming.
Right.
Not only are you not hearing or seeing, you're
right.
hearing the voice of God, but you're also you can't see the enemy coming. And your butt's
mm-hmm.
right out there, this perfect opportunity for him to kick it.
You know, you know, again, I'm just flying high. That's all I wanted to say.
Praise the Lord. We fly
yeah.
together, baby. High the Lord lifts us up. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We fly together.
Different level. You know, because we're not, you know, in any way putting ourselves above anyone. But we're
Amen.
Trying to relate to everyone to say
Amen.
We are not doing anything so special that Christ can't show you how to do the same thing.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, I just wanted to say that a lot of people listen to the last show later. We had a very good response to the last show, and I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that what we're discussing is has to do with a personal relationship
with your Lord and Savior. And can't nobody tell you what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get that information from anyone else.
You
know,
have to work on spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth. You know, at the beginning of every year, I get phone calls from people saying, what's the word for the year? And I'm like, for the year? Whoa, wait a minute. I'm still working on the word for the day. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the word for the year is. You know, and they think that's odd sometimes. Because
well, I know that I'm blessed, that the Lord has blessed all of us to be here to hear from one another, and that word here is so key. We just mm-hmm. mentioned something. Tim said something a little while ago about people burying their head in the sand so that they can't hear or see. Well, you know, we're all talking about faith. And we're talking about faith in Christ Jesus. And we know that faith is built and increased as we're hearing the word of God. And so we come together, we talk, and we fellowship or whatever. But a lot of times we're waiting to hear from the Lord through his word. You know, and we're hoping that it's a rhema word for each and every one of us. But if it's not, it's still the word, and it's going to accomplish what it set out to do. And that word is gonna build and build and build inside of us and grow and spread. And somebody's heart is going to be changed. Somebody's life is going to be changed. Somebody's going to want to get to know Christ a little bit better. And that's all we're motivated for. On
the amen. Okay, that's the brochure. That's the brochure that we passed out at the end of the flight. That's what we're here to do. The airline is so blessed and so unique, and I love how the different talents that we all have are used, you know, to do exactly what needs to be done in the kingdom. And we have to remember that's the purpose of what we're doing. No matter what we're doing, it's for kingdom's sake.
Amen. The word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we just hope that somebody has heard a word from the Spirit of the Lord, and that word grows, and that it can be used wherever the Spirit wants to lead it to help somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just so thankful. I am so thankful for you, sister, opening up like this for this platform, because it is, not only is it a unique platform, it's really undescribable, but we come with the expectation that we're going to all get something from the Spirit, something we all can use.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, again, help somebody else.
Hey, here's the thing. This person that we helped might not listen to this till another year from now. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of being heir to the kingdom. It's that what we plant is planted on that sturdy, sorry, fertile ground. And as it grows, it's left there for future generations. So I love the internet so much now. You know, this stuff is there and accessible to people forever. As long as there's the internet, I don't think it's going away. You know, but he said, if I be lifted up, I will call men unto myself, not unto the airline or unto the Journey Home Outreach Ministries. But I will call man unto myself. And that's what Jesus said. So I always keep that in my head when I'm doing anything that has to do with the Journey Home Outreach Ministry. It's just, you know, I need to exalt him so that people will come. Because if I start promoting me.
And just before we go, because I know we're probably going to be running out of time, but I wanted I keep going back. I know I go here and there and everywhere sometimes, but
I keep going back to appearance of things. I just wanted to say that, you know, with regards to physical appearance of things, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was not that pretty brown-eyed or blue-eyed Caucasian man with long flowing hair, you know, just looked like some actor or something ready to hit the movie set or something. He was not comely in appearance, as the Word of God says. I think in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. But it talks about Jesus looking like a man acquainted with a lot of sorrow and grief, and he had no comeliness that people would even want to look upon him. And it even talks about his physical body being disfigured. Yet, this is who we love and adore. And he could have came looking like an ant with five eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But he is our Lord and Savior. So it has nothing to do with appearance of things. It has everything to do with the spirit of things.
Mm-hmm.
And our Lord is so loving. He's so kind. I don't know. I just can't stress enough that there's somebody somewhere out there needs to know that
mm-hmm.
it needs to stop with the appearances
mm-hmm.
and stop worrying about how they appear to another. Worry about how you appear to Christ.
And the appearance, if appearances were of any significance, Jesus would have made sure that we all knew what he looked like.
Yes.
It's not by accident that we really have very little idea of what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter. If he would have passed down a picture or something, you know, we would know what he looked like.
Right,
well, then we would be worshiping the human flesh that rotted away.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Instead of the real Jesus, the Spirit.
You know, I love when people want to know what Jesus looks like. I like to tell them to go stand in the mirror.
Amen.
And look at the Christ within you. And there's your picture. It's what he is what you need him to be when you need him to be it.
Well, I tell you this, the Bible says the things seen are temporal and
mm-hmm.
the things unseen are eternal.
Mhm. Mhm.
So
amen.
I don't care how good it looks like or what it looks like, it's all spiritual.
Yeah. It is. And God is truth. But if God,
yeah.
He's truth. He's the truth. And we have about 16 minutes left on the flight. Just want to let everybody know. And if there was any closing words that anyone had that they wanted to share with the group or share to someone who might be listening.
I like to take it a step higher and just ask if we all might want to or not, but if we all might just want to, you know, humble ourselves in the spirit and just take it there where we acknowledge, Lord, that you are on this flight, and we just leave our petitions with you for the evening, Lord Jesus, what we're praying for, what we're thanking you for, Lord God, what we're expecting, Lord God, if we could just take it there. I'm asking if you guys want to talk to the Lord a little bit.
You know, I'll start on that because I just want to thank Lord God just for the opportunity to stand in your presence and talk about your word. Get it tweaked, corrected. Search me, and I pray for all those who listen live and all those who are on the phone now and all those who might listen later that Christ shows himself mightily in your life, and you start to begin to see your self-worth because you are heir of the kingdom. And that's really what I want to leave everybody with for this evening.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who took on human flesh and was crucified and hung upon the cross, and by whose blood we are saved. For the one who went down to the bowels of the earth and to led captivity captive and gave us dominion over power over the enemy, who gave us the power to rebuke death, to rebuke immorality. We come against the spirit of death right now in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of immorality in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of disbelief in the name of Jesus. We bind confusion in the name of Jesus. For all those who listen to this, who have illness in their bodies, we stand against illness in the name of Jesus, and we declare that they are healed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, for your word that you have given us and your wisdom, Lord God. And, Lord, we repent right now for the times that when we have been less than obedient to your word, Lord God. But by your grace, we are forgiven. And we thank you for that, Lord God. Lord, we love you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for everything that you've done in our life right now, Lord God. We want to thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you will do. And we thank you, Lord, for our trials and tribulations that you have allowed us to go through so that we could learn, so that our faith can be built, Lord God, and strengthened by the power of your word, Lord God. Time that you showed yourself to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Times when the enemy came in like a flood, Lord God, and it seemed like an insurmountable mountain in front of us. But just by your spirit, that mountain disintegrated into dust. Lord, we just thank you for your power, Lord God, and your loving kindness. And we lift up everyone right now who has illness in their bodies like right now, Lord God. I want to especially lift up my daughter right now. Tomorrow she's going to be having this baby in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your angels are going to be watching over her, and she's going to have a healthy delivery, and the baby is going to be perfectly healthy in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that she is going to raise that child to admonish and bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, right now, I thank you for the airline, Lord God, and this ministry here with Sister Pucci. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use it mightily, and that people are going to be healed, people are going to be ministered to, Lord God, and that people are going to be delivered by the power of your word through this ministry, Lord. And I thank you once again in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I believe and receive that. I believe and receive it. Wellness free.
Thank you, Lord God. I just want to say, Lord, I just want you to empty me, Lord God, and fill me with you, more of you, Lord God. Just continue to empty me of everything that is not like you, Lord God. And, Lord God, just fill me with more spiritual blessings, more of you, Lord God. Lord God, take me where you want me to go, Lord God. And I'm satisfied, Jesus.
And I'm satisfied. I'm so satisfied. And just satisfied. I feel good. I was sleepy when I started this. I'm wide awake now.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's the spirit that gives life. Hallelujah.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know that the spirit was in the rooms, the many rooms today, as we brought forth the word in our understanding, getting clarification from each other. And, you know, if we ever hear something on this broadcast and you want to go into it further, send shoot an email to the ministry, sisterpucci@sisterpucci.com, and we can discuss it on one of the flights.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Unless anybody else has anything they want to add? Let's go counting down. Okay, with that, the doors of the church are open. Anyone out there who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we invite you to right now simply say, Lord, come into my life, search my heart. I believe that you're the Son of God. You died on the cross. You rose again. Save me from my sins. And just by doing that, you have been saved. Just by doing that, you have been reborn. And we'll help you to come from an infant.
Amen. Did we lose Kevin and Cynthia?
Yeah, I think we did. I think Kevin and Cynthia got lost.
Well, I didn't fall off. Kevin left because he had to go. I'm still here.
You still there? Girl, we thought you were gone. Hallelujah.
It'll be a lot of nice. It'll be a lot of nice answers. I won't say anything. But I will I do want to thank God that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not us, but it's Christ that's living His life in us. But we are dead, and our lives are hid with God in Christ. And I pray that God will help us to reckon ourselves to be dead, and we won't have these problems with our flesh wanting to be dressed up. Because if we're going to put on anything, we're going to put on righteousness and holiness, Lord, that is in us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us richly, Lord God. And the Spirit of Christ will subdue everything that is not of your Spirit on the inside of us. In Jesus' name we praise you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, the flight is on. Well, this little journey of the flight is coming to an end, and I just want to let everybody know this has been a blessed experience for me. And I look forward to next month when we meet again and we join together. And look at your social networks to find out when that is. And please don't hesitate to join the conversation if you feel so, or if you just like to listen. We're going to let them listen. But we're going to roll out of here like we always roll out of here on the Journey Home Outreach Ministry. And that's with How Great Thou Art by Society Hill Music. Everyone, I love you with the love of Christ. You are my sisters and my brothers. And I look forward to talking to you next month.
And I love you too.
Okay. Peace and blessings, everyone.
Right. Good night.
Good night.